Penguin Random House Audio presents Whale Day and Other Poems. This is the author, Billy Collins. For Laura, treasured friend and patron. No one has a right to say that no water babies exist till they have seen no water babies existing, which is quite a different thing, mind, from not seeing water babies. Charles Kingsley. The Function of Poetry. I woke up early on a Tuesday, made a pot of coffee for myself, then drove down to the village, stopping at the post office, then the bank, where I cashed a little check from a magazine. And when I got home, I read some of the newspaper, starting with the science section, and had another cup of coffee and a bowl of cereal. Pretty soon it was lunchtime. I wasn't at all hungry, but I paused for a moment to look out the big kitchen window, and that's when I realized that the function of poetry is to remind me that there is much more to life than what I am usually doing when I'm not reading or writing poetry. One. Walking my 75-year-old dog. She's painfully slow, so I often have to stop and wait while she examines some roadside weeds, as if she were reading the biography of a famous dog. And she's not a pretty sight anymore, dragging one of her hind legs, her coat too matted to brush or comb, and a snout white as a marshmallow. We usually walk down a disused road that runs along the edge of a lake, whose surface trembles in a high wind and is slow to ice over as the months grow cold. We don't walk very far before she sits down on her worn haunches and looks up at me with her rheumy eyes. Then it's time to carry her back to the car. Just thinking about the honesty in her eyes, I realize I should tell you she's not really 75, she's 14. I guess I was trying to appeal to your sense of the bizarre, the curiosities of the sideshow. I mean, who really cares about another person's dog? Everything else I've said is true, except the part about her being 14. I mean, she's old, but not that old, and it's not polite to divulge the true age of a lady. Contemporary Americans. I was trying to make my way across a busy street in San Francisco, while carrying the new anthology of poetry I'd been flipping through earlier that morning with my pot of tea and two pieces of cinnamon toast, in which I was wedged between James Tate and Bob Dylan, because the poets were arranged old to young according to age. I had to avoid a couple of cars, cross over two sets of trolley tracks, and dodge a guy with a ski cap on a bicycle in order to get across the street and enter one of the city's many hospitable parks, with their hedges, benches, and shade trees, and often girls on a blanket, a juggler, an old man doing Tai Chi. And that's where I lay down on the soft grass, closed my eyes, and after a little while began to picture the three of us lined up in a row, according to the editor's wishes, sliding out of our mothers in order, one after the other, then ending up pressed together on a shelf in a corner bookstore, yodeling away in the dark. Paris in May. A teddy bear in a store window, three house painters waiting to cross a boulevard, a woman in a cafe, her red nails on a man's nape while she smokes. What are we to make of all this? In the Church of Saint-Sulpice, the Virgin holds her baby to her chest as she stands on the round earth, appearing to be unaware of the serpent she is crushing with one foot. Outside, four stone lions guard a fountain. Is this a puzzle I am meant to solve before the evening bells ring again? Here a man wearing a newspaper hat, there a child alone on a flowery balcony. An outdoor table on Rue Cassette seemed a good enough place to sort things out. And sure enough, after two milky green glasses of Pernod, the crowd flowed around me like a breeze, and I found a link between my notebook and the soft Parisian sky, both being almost the same pale shade of blue. And it's raining outside, which always adds. About a month ago, I bought a small transistor radio in a junk shop run by a man as tall as a grandfather clock, a pink plastic one from the 1950s, which plays only love songs from the past, as if the radio had a memory and a melancholy disposition. I like to turn the little bezel with my thumb, so the volume is down so low, the songs sound as if they're coming from another room in a boarding house in a run-down part of town. Then I lie down and lock my hands behind my head. Tonight, they say it's spring, is making all the boarders in the boarding house sad. But that's the way it is with every song, whether it's April in Paris or Autumn in New York, which were both written by the same guy. But the boarders are too unhappy to care about that, the men sitting on the edges of their beds and the women looking out the only window at the rain, or a taxicab as yellow as Forsythia is turning a corner to God knows where and God knows who. And God knows why You Go to My Head is playing now, bringing down all the poor souls in the boarding house, which vanished when I heard someone speak and open my eyes. Life expectancy. On the morning of a birthday that ended in a zero, I was looking out at the garden when it occurred to me that the robin on her worm hunt in the dewy grass had a good chance of outliving me, as did the worm itself, for that matter, if he managed to keep his worm head down. It was not always like this. For decades, I could assume that I would be around longer than the squirrel dashing up a tree, or the nightly raccoons in the garbage, longer than the barred owl on a branch, the ibis, the chicken, and the horse, longer than four deer in a clearing, and every creature in the zoo, except the elephant and the tortoise, whose cages I would hurry past. It was just then in my calculations that the cat padded noiselessly into the room, and it seemed reasonable, given her bright eyes and glossy coat, to picture her at my funeral, dressed all in black as usual, which would nicely set off her red collar. Some of the mourners might pause in their grieving to notice, as she found a place next to a labradoodle in a section of the church reserved for their kind. Sleeping on my side. Every night, no matter where I am when I lie down, I turn my back on half the world. At home, it's the East I ignore with its theaters and silverware as I face the adventurous West. But when I'm out on the road in some hotel's room 213 or 402, I could be pointed anywhere, yet I hardly care, as long as you are there, facing the other way, so we are defended in all degrees, and my left ear is pressing down, as if listening for hoofbeats in the ground. The floors of Bonnard. Surely the slanted tables are responsible for all the shattered crockery, the puddles of wine, and the clumps of butter that must end up on the rarely seen floors in the colorful paintings of Pierre Bonnard. Tilting the table forward in the direction of the viewer is one way to make more visible the red-orange tablecloth and all the objects resting on it, the plates and saucers, the creamer, wine glasses, vases, and delicate teacups. But what about the poor wife of Bonnard? Why is she never glimpsed amidst all the colorful fabrics, reds, pale blues, and vermilion dots, bearing her broom, her dustpan, and her putrid mop? down on the farm.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?